Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
He got a steal and he looked at his hand.
I don't know. And that wasn't even the hand that he swatted down with. I'm not sure if he jammed it into the back of Henderson or what exactly happened, but we'll see if he'll remain in the ballgame or not. It doesn't look like he will.
Now
he just jammed his hand into Henderson's back is what the guys are telling us.
Now they put in Jamal Crawford.
And he will go to the locker room.
Yeah.
He is upset.
He'll go for X-ray.
Griffin with the jumper. And he hobbles back to the other end of the court.
Rob, I didn't see the play. I just know he fractured his hand. He'll get evaluated tomorrow, but it obviously doesn't look very good for him. Doesn't look great for him either. We'll see that tomorrow. Plan it on one move, actually. He said he felt great, and that's the one thing he said, because I felt great out there, and he said I'd plan it, and I felt something. We're not sure with Blake yet.
Were you aware of Mark Cuban's comments before the game when he said Kevin was the only superstar on this team, and how do you react to that?
Hold up. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. All right, that's what we got to say about that. You know, he's an idiot. Next question.
To hear boos come from the home crowd set off a fuse inside of me, and like I said, I lashed out, and I shouldn't have. Yeah, it got up in that high skies, that dust period, in one brief spot, and I mean, nobody, I'm looking around screaming, I don't see it, nobody else sees it. It was unfortunate. It was frustration. I don't want to hear that at home. You know, we deal with that enough on the road. With that being said, I should be more mature and more grown up than that to be able to deal with it, and that's where I apologize.
This is the fun. Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
It is indeed. Hour number two is underway right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. Once again, Jim Cushlin is not here today. But yeah. Well, what can I say? I can only say, I can just tell you what's going on. You can react however you want. So the audience barely is okay with that. Cushlin is out there pretending he can see beyond the smoke that is filling the mask from the Marlboro hanging from his lips as he stands behind home plate and some catcher ruining some freshman's life. Yeah, Cush has got an umpiring assignment tonight, and I swear to God, because I've never seen Cush go more than 10 minutes without a smoke. In the studio, he's running outside constantly about every 2 seconds.
Very true.
And you know what, Ben? Usually he doesn't have one, so he's bumming one. From somebody.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
And I'm just waiting for him in between innings to walk over to the stands and ask a parent, you got a Salem? A light. Spark me up here. How about some cools? I need something here. Ah, dang it. You take a couple more warm-up pitches here. I'm not done yet. How the hell with it? Just throw the mask on. Oh, I can just picture it right now. Cushlin is embarking upon his officiating career in total, because he started out as a basketball official this past winter season, and now he is doing his first umpiring assignments. And yes, we are going to ride him, and we are going to ride him hard. He knows it, and we expect him as he's driving to the game to be listening and either punching his steering wheel or laughing his head off. That's the goal. All right, thanks again. Really good stuff from Anthony Fennec on the Detroit Tigers. How about your boy Tyler Collins? Do you think this will last? And I want to ask fans that to dial us up at 866-240-1065. Fans are really, really enraged right now. That's the word I've seen in two different stories. Tigers fans are bent. They're furious that somebody, a player, doing what they would all love to do for a living, play a kid's game. The game we all played in Little League or travel baseball, depending on your age or whatever it was, and a bunch of hardworking, you know, blue-collar schmoes in the stands are rightfully booing when a pop fly sure out drops, and then another fielder mishandles it, kind of fumbles it, talking about Upton, and they boo. To see the finger and to read the lips where he said, F everybody here, yeah, they have a right to be enraged. But that apology you heard at the end of the montage there, I thought was genuine. I thought it was real. And I think the dude deserves a little bit of a break. Be enraged for a moment. And then stop and think about it and say, yeah, man, I get it. We've been there. Life sometimes kicks you right between the legs. You got lost the ball in the sun. It's not your fault. Just like he was temporarily enraged and used the finger and then really thought better of it, I hope the fans do the same thing. Be enraged for a minute or two. Be enraged. But then let the dude go. Give him some applause the next time he comes to the dish, probably tonight. All right. Well, I don't know. You think he'll play tonight or not? I don't know if he's going to be in the lineup for Ausmus tonight. Probably should have checked that out. All right. So I want to shift gears, talk about a number of things. We can talk a little baseball with Dennis Manilow. We can talk a little bit of the playoff basketball with Dennis Manilow. And guess what? We're 2 days away from the NFL draft. We can get a little preview of that, too. D-Man is one of our good friends. He is a sports writer and the author of From A to Z, From Andrews to Zastadil, a great book you can find on Amazon.com. And D-Man joins us once again right here on The Ticket. What's up, brother?
Thanks for having me, Bob France.
Good to have you. Can you imagine Kushlin behind the dish?
No, I cannot.
He's got to leave early every so often, once or twice a week, because he's doing baseball. We get him and have a good time with him, obviously. But Kush is not here, so it's just you and me, brother. What did you think of that last night? You saw Tyler Collins, I'm sure. There's a vine that's flying around the internet and Twitter, and maybe you saw it. Maybe you even already retweeted it. I don't know, but it's on our Twitter feed at Sports Radio 106.5, yeah. And it's on our Facebook page at 106.5, The Ticket, of Collins basically reacting to the boos with the Boo Birds received a bird of their own, I guess, from Tyler. What'd you think?
Yeah, it's disappointing on all fronts, Bob. When fans go over the line, I don't know if they cross the line with Collins or not, but, you wish sometimes that fans wouldn't be as vocal. And then on the other hand, but most importantly, the athlete, him or herself, has to exhibit self-control. And regardless of what's coming from the stands, you somehow have to figure out a way to act, responsibly. And he obviously didn't.
Yeah, and I don't think they went over the line either just by booing him. But his point is a valid one, too, when he says, look, I was frustrated, obviously. Ball dropped because I couldn't find it in the sun because of that dusk period, and the sky is just, it's difficult to find, and I couldn't find it. And his point was, man, I hear that crap on the road all the time. I really don't feel like hearing it at home. And at the moment, I just kind of snapped a little bit, and I did what I did. I hope that the fans get that, too, and realize, well, we're snapping a little bit at you. We're furious right now, but hopefully they'll get over it, too, and say, you know what? This isn't a guy who's making $30 million a year. This wasn't Miggy dropping it. This wasn't Bryce Harper dropping it. This was a blue collar, ham and egg or a lunch pail, go to work kind of kid, guy playing this game, and hopefully they give him a break before all is said and done.
I hear you. But Bob, honestly, what I was thinking of asking you today was, what is Mark Cuban thinking, or what was he thinking? Okay. But then again, it's Mark Cuban, so it made total sense that his ginormous ego had to stick himself into that series, and it blows up in his face.
Well, I got to tell you, you're not a Cuban fan, right?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Is there a reason for that other than just, there's things like this, or is there something specific where I can't believe he did X back in the day or whatever?
The Mavericks have a title. It really is. Few people in my mind have talked more and accomplished less, but he's got a title, so he can stick that in people's faces.
Okay.
His act is so tired. It really is.
Okay. Just since you asked me, and that's kind of cool, by the way. That's why I like having you on, because you're asking me the questions instead of the other way around, and I like the opportunity to answer it. I could justify it one way. He knows he's in trouble. He's down 3-1. It's a closeout game. And if Durant and Westbrook go off, you're done. And maybe he's thinking, I put a little bug in his ear, a little psychological warfare. This is KD's team. He's the only superstar. Russell Westbrook is an all-star. Yeah, he made the all-star team, but he's not a superstar. In the hopes that Westbrook hears that, who's already got a bit of a reputation in some circles of being a little bit shot happy, a little bit of a ball hog, kind of wanting his own team, kind of wanting to be the man, not be the Robin to Kevin Durant's Batman. I'm not a superstar. Me, I'll show you, and go out there and try to take over the game by himself, freezing out KD and doing too much, turnovers, missed shots, and giving his team a little bit of a shot here. Any chance that it was psychological in that way?
Well, I'm sure that's what he was going for, but Bob, in my mind, it's always been, if that kind of junk is going to be talked, make it by the players or the coach, all right? Even the Stanley Johnson thing. Okay, so Stanley Johnson runs his mouth for the Cavaliers. at least he's a player who has to go out there and try to back up his word.
Oh, I don't know, Dennis.
What's that?
I don't know, bro. I can see an owner doing this so that the coach doesn't become the bad guy. So that the coach and the players, who, of course, they are in a fraternity, as we know, you know, in the Players Association and everything else. Yeah, I'm the owner. People can hate me all they want. It doesn't matter. I'm not on the court. I'm not on the sidelines. I'm not going to hear this. Or if I do, it's only going to be from people like me and you, columnists or talk show hosts. I think if he wanted to plant that bug in Russell's ear with the intent of messing with him psychologically, I think he probably did his team a favor by not making the coach do it or making one of the players be the enemy.
Yeah, but I say that he poked the bear unnecessarily. Westbrook was extra motivated and went out and stuck it to his team in a closeout game. That's how I'm viewing it. It's like, you know, let your players play and your coaches coach. Unless somebody comes at your franchise or comes at you as a, you know, by name as an owner, then you can respond to that. But, you know, why you have to be the one to determine that Russell Westbrook is not a star when your team still has to play him, that doesn't make sense to me.
Let's talk about the aftermath, because this is something, Dennis, that I was talking about in the first hour with Kush before he had to go and pretend he can see. And let's get your thoughts on this. Let's let everybody hear it again.
Mark Cuban's comments before the game when he said Kevin was the only superstar on this team, and how do you react to that?
Hold up. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. All right, that's what we got to say about that. He's an idiot.
He's an idiot. Three times he dropped the idiot bomb, and I don't think he meant idiot. I think that's just what was clean for TV. He probably meant a-hole. He was really angry. And what I said before, Dennis, and this is what I'd like your thoughts on, is when I see KD jump into the defense of his running mate. You know, a lot of people have said that there's friction, either spoken or unspoken, because Russell is probably a top five player in this league. KD is clearly a top five or top three player in this league. And you know, there's some words and rumors that maybe Russell would like his own show. And maybe he's kind of hoping that KD leaves in free agency so that he can get his, you know, and be the man here. When KD jumped to his defense like that, it to me showed unity and a brotherhood and a teamwork and a camaraderie that maybe, you know, wasn't there or people didn't know was there. And I tell you what, it puts these two guys on the same page, and I think they might have a shot, a legitimate shot, at taking out the Spurs in round two.
I totally agree with you, Bob. You know, for all those people that are just automatically giving the Spurs the free path to the conference finals, I disagree. I think the Oklahoma City Thunder can be a huge problem for the Spurs. They have two stars, regardless of what Cuban says. They have good role players. They have athleticism. They have speed, quickness. They can do a lot of things that cause San Antonio trouble. And to your point about Durant, yeah, I think this Dallas series brought out a sort of a mean streak in Kevin Durant. You know, you saw the flagrant and some other things, so that's good. Why not? I mean, as long as you don't hurt somebody on the court, I don't mind seeing NBA players angry about stuff, okay? I don't mind seeing NBA players not kissing and hugging the opposition. You look at LeBron against the Pistons. He was not happy with a number of things that were going on with the Detroit Pistons. He took it almost personal. He had a great series. And his team swept, and there wasn't the, you know, the love fest, okay, with the opposition. I like that stuff. That's what professional sports is supposed to be. It's supposed to be highly competitive, not anger so much as, you know, uncomfortable, okay? I want the opponent to be a guy that you want to beat, not a guy you want to hug. So this is good. I like seeing this stuff. Short of the expletives, if there are any, or any of the stuff on the court where you're, you know, doing something to a fan, of course not. But on the court, anxiety and frustration and, you know, stare downs, that's fine with me.
Our guest is Dennis Maniloff, the author of the book From A to Z, From Andrews to Zastadil. He's also a writer for Cleveland.com and the Northeast Ohio Media Group. We'll get back to the Eastern Conference playoffs in a moment, and I want you just kind of your closing thoughts on the first-round sweep of the Pistons by the Cavaliers. But real quick, just since we're out west, and we agree that this is going to be a great series between the Thunder and Spurs, there is not a given there at all as far as who's going to the Western Conference Finals. But my, oh my. First, the NBA's two-time, soon-to-be two-time reigning MVP goes down with a knee that's going to keep him out at least 2 weeks, maybe more, at least four games into the second round of the playoffs, a second round that I would have given a big advantage to the L.A. Clippers against the Warriors had it not been for last night's news that the counterpart that would be, and the Clippers probably won't even make it there now, but Chris Paul, who would have been able to exploit Curry's absence, he's down with a broken hand. So now all H is breaking loose in the Western Conference. You might even see Portland somehow slip by the Clips the rest of the way. Are the Warriors, who are going to be without Steph for probably the first four games at least of the second round, are they still the favorite in the West, or does it become Spurs or Thunder?
No, I think that the Golden State Warriors are still the favorites until we know exactly the status of Steph Curry. Because, you know, even if Curry misses a big chunk of this next round, I think that now that Paul's out, the Warriors will take care of either the Clippers or the Blazers. You know, maybe each team will get a couple because Curry's out, but they'll still lose the series to the Warriors. So Warriors still the favorites unless you find out that Curry's out for an extended period, if not the entire postseason, which it doesn't sound like. It sounds like he'll be able to make it back. So, you know, and yes, I think the Thunder, if they played the Warriors right now, would win, and the Spurs, if they played the Warriors right now, would win, but that's not happening. So you have to wait to see if Curry gets healthy. And I do feel for the Clippers a little bit. I mean, because, you know, of all the people, you don't want anybody to get hurt, Bob France, but of all the people that has to get hurt, it's, you know, Chris Paul.
Exactly.
One guy who could dominate that series almost by himself. And he goes down, and then of course you got Blake with the quad. So yeah, I don't know if the Clippers even get past the Blazers at this point.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And you're right. It seems like the basketball gods smile on Golden State constantly. They did all last year through the playoffs with all the injuries of the opponents they had to face. And now, when it looks like, you know, the worm is turning, so to speak, and Curry goes down, the gods say, yeah, that's okay. We're going to knock out the all-star point guard for your next round opponent, too. So it's all good in the hood for the Warriors. It's just amazing how they continue to get that blessing, even when it seems like there's a curse. Let's come back east. Your overall assessment of the four-game sweep that the Cavaliers did to the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons, obviously, a very young team, making the playoffs for the first time since the 09 season. I thought they acquitted themselves quite well. They didn't shrink in the moment in an 8-versus-1 matchup. It was a four-game sweep, but there were no blowouts. All four games were very well contested. The Pistons led in the fourth quarter in three of them.
I totally agree with you, Bob. I think the Pistons have a lot to feel good about. I wrote this in my game reports. They played hard. They were scrappy. They were physical. Unlike the Celtics last year in the first round for Cleveland, the Pistons didn't resort to goonsmanship. I mean, there were borderline elbows and whatnot, but they didn't go over the top like the Celtics did in the first round last year against Cleveland. So the Cavaliers appreciated that. No arms were pulled out of sockets and whatnot. But the Pistons, playoff inexperience, but didn't show it, didn't shrink in the moment, as you said, scored 52-plus points in each of the four first halves, easily could have been run out of the building in game four a couple times in the second half, came back, scratched around it and made it a game. So a lot to like if you're the Detroit Pistons. On the same side, or on the other side, a lot to like if you're the Cavaliers, because, you know, they swept the series. It didn't have to go longer than four, so you get rest, which is important for guys like, you know, LeBron and Love and anybody else, I suppose, on the roster, but certainly LeBron. the more days of rest you get, the better off you figure you're going to be. So the Cavs can feel good that they swept the team, that they got a good test, even though it was 4-0, as you said, for competitive games. They got a physical test. They had to win a couple close games down the stretch. They had to figure out ways to win. So both teams, in my mind, come away feeling reasonably good after this series.
How important is Kyrie Irving and the step forward he took in this four-game sweep? He took a step forward as, to me, I'm not just LeBron's sidekick. I can carry us if LeBron's shot is off, or if LeBron just decides, I need to be a playmaker now. Kyrie, go find yourself a spot. I'll find you. I trust you to take this shot. He took a step forward where it's not just the big, you know, because I fear and feel like that this edition of the Big Three isn't as much of a Big Three as others we have seen.
Well,
the Garnett, Pierce, Allen kind of thing. It's more of a Big One and his two little running mates. I thought Kyrie Irving in this series, Dennis, took a step up and saying, you know what, I am big time, and leading this team and scoring at 28 a game in this four-game sweep was enormous.
Yeah, Bob, I'm about a big 2.5. I mean, let's be honest here, because Kevin Love is a nice player. Lest I become Mark Cuban. Kevin Love is a really good NBA player, all right? But you saw in the playoffs in this series here that Kyrie is at a different level. That Love is, primarily because Kyrie is able to create his own offense with regularity because of his great handle. The handle that gets him criticized a lot also delivers the goods come playoff time when the ball invariably is going to get stuck, Bob. It seems like every team except the Warriors and the Spurs bogged down offensively in the playoffs. And you need individuals who are able to find offense to create offense out of nothing. And that's what you saw with Kyrie. The Pistons, I thought, did a really nice job of taking away a lot of Cleveland sets, a lot of what Cleveland was trying to do. But guess what? Kyrie was able to dribble out of trouble, find a spot on the floor, make a shot or create a shot for somebody else, or get a hockey assist with the second pass. The value of Kyrie absolutely showed itself in this series, and it's why, you know, I think that the Kyrie supporters have a right to say that this is really a big 2.5 as opposed to a big 3.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think it's just great for Kyrie, to be honest with you, too, because it was so disappointing. I think he was on his way to having a great finals, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not saying they'd have won, I don't know. But a great finals, and we know the yeoman's work LeBron had to do without Kyrie there to be a second supporting scorer to him, or maybe even a first option, as we saw in this particular series. But he was on his way to that last year when, of course, he shattered the kneecap or cracked it or whatever it was and missed it. So I think it's just great to see for him. As far as Kevin Love, just briefly, you're right. He's not on Kyrie's level in terms of making that a big three, but then again, Chris Bosh wasn't on the LeBron Wade level either with that big three. You could argue that Ray Allen was, you know, being a one-dimensional stretching, you know, defense-stretching jump shooter wasn't Paul Pierce nor Kevin Durant on their big three. And on down the line we go. But he is a tremendous component in all of this. They needed every one of his 28 and 13 or whatever it was in game one. And even if he has games where it's only going to be 11 or 13 or 15 and 10, his double-doubles are extraordinarily important. And when he's on, you know, they're big-time double-doubles, 24, 25, 26 points and 13 rebounds, the kinds of things that he can give you.
You're right, Bob. You're right. I don't elevate Love to the status of LeBron and not Kyrie either, I still say he's an incredibly valuable component. He's paid like it. I mean, he's a max player.
Right.
All right? He should be able to produce at a high level. It shouldn't be a surprise when Kevin Love goes 20 and 10. All right? What bothers me is a night like last night, 3 of 15 from the field. Or was it two nights ago? I can't
even
remember.
Two nights ago.
Yeah, I mean, 3 of 15, you can't have that from Kevin Love. And I'm not saying he has to be 10 of 10 all the time, but you know, he's got to shoot better more consistently. Now, the previous game to that, he was 7-10, which is great. But they absolutely need Kevin Love.
I'm not trying to sound defensive of him, too. And I know it does sound that way. And maybe I am being defensive, but just don't want to sound like it, to be honest. I'll admit anything that's possible here. But I feel like he carries the burden of bad shooting nights a lot more from fans and from some media than like LeBron does. You know, when LeBron had 20 and 6 assists and whatever it was in game 3, was it? He was 8 of 24. And people said, but he did so many other things. You know, when he's 8 of 24, that's pretty close to 3 for 15 if you play it out. But Kevin Love still managed 11 rebounds. He still played very good defense, particularly when they went small and he was the center, that a lot of people didn't think he could play. So I feel like if he has a bad shooting night, it's a scarlet letter on his chest that it really isn't on other guys when they have off shooting nights.
Well, it is, but when you're comparing it to LeBron, I mean, come on, LeBron does so many things on the court that Kevin Love does not do. If you take LeBron off the court, the Cavaliers are lost for the most part. If you take Kevin Love off the court, they can survive. All right, they're not probably going to win a title if Love doesn't play or if he doesn't play well, but they can survive. They can muddle through as long as they have LeBron and Kyrie out there. But you take LeBron off this team, and it's a disaster. All right.
No, I don't disagree. That's obvious. So, I'm not saying that they're equally important. I just mean that, you know, what LeBron is asked to do or has done is he's got to do all those things in addition to scoring. And if he isn't scoring because he's not shooting well, he's still going to do them. Well, for what Kevin Love is asked to do, which is play good defense, play adequate defense anyway, and rebound, clear the defensive glass, get that outlet going, get that break going, he's still doing. If he's 3 for 15, Dennis, with 4 boards, you know, and a couple of turnovers, and that's it, I'm with you. But if he's still clear, you know, if LeBron is 8 for 24 but has 7 assists and 10 rebounds or 7 and 8 or something like that, people are saying he's still impacting the game the way he's supposed to despite the off-shooting night. I guess I just want people to look at the rebounding column, especially, again, and even on the offensive glass where he's not Tristan Thompson, but he still gets things done there, and I want people to acknowledge that, you know, as far as his role. He's never
fair enough. So I guess, but Bob, I guess what bothers me is Love misses so many open shots. I mean, I've watched this team for 2 years, every possession as part of my job, and Kevin Love misses a boatload of open shots, and that's what's, to me, head-scratching, okay?
Because yeah,
I sit there and I go, LeBron and Kyrie are creating opportunities for Kevin Love to stand there and just fire away at will, and he keeps missing. And that's where it gets frustrating from the Cavs standpoint.
Last thing, D-Man, and we appreciate your time as always. As we look at the rest of the East, I'm sitting here stunned that the Miami Heat find themselves 2-2 with Charlotte. I'm sitting here stunned, to be honest with you, that the Celtics and the Hawks are 2-2. I kind of felt like the Heat might be, you know, the second best team in this Eastern Conference playoffs. Of course, you have Toronto. But I'm just kind of looking at an Eastern Conference pool of mediocrity that the Cavaliers are swimming, obviously, way, way on top of.
Well, I'm, you know, me, Bob, as a Clevelander or Northeast Ohio, and I don't give the Cavs anything. I mean, you can't. I'm not one of those that sits there and say they automatically get to the finals. I think every series is going to present its challenges. The Cavs are going to lose games in series. Not everything's going to go 4-0. I still have a great deal of respect for the Heat, but I'll tell you this.
But they're all 2-2. All of the rest of them are 2-2, and that blows me away. Oh. I thought the Raptors would make relatively quick work of the 7 seed. I certainly thought that the Heat would make really quick work of the Hornets, and everybody's 2-2 as the Cavaliers sit there at 4-0. I just feel like it's a coast to the finals, and maybe that's wrong, but go ahead and finish your last thing.
I just like the Heat. I like the Hornets a lot. Okay, I really do. I like their spunk, and I like the way they're coached. And so it doesn't surprise me that they're giving the Heat trouble, especially in Charlotte. Let's see. I still think that the Raptors emerge over the Pacers. And then you're talking about what's the other one that's 2-2? Oh, Celtics.
The Celtics and the Hawks. Celtics came back and won the last two in Boston.
Yeah, Hawks made a huge tactical error there at the end of game 4. Could have been up 3-1 and closed it out in 5 games. Now you have a minimum six, maybe seven, and that you figure would only help the Cavs. So, but I still like Atlanta to take care of home court. But I just don't think that it's going to be easy. I don't, no matter who's in front of the Cavaliers, I don't think it's going to be easy because the Cavs are not a flawless team by any stretch. They still have defensive issues. I just can't wait for the next series, but I'm glad for Cleveland's sake that it has a little bit of rest.
All right, good stuff, Dennis. Thanks for the analysis. We appreciate it. Hey, by the way, it looks like Dan Gilbert is teaming up with Pistons owner Tom Gores to bring soccer to the D, an MLS team. Are you jealous? Are you wishing they would bring that to Cleveland out there?
I don't want to anger anybody who likes the MLS. I was going to say not necessarily jealous, but, I mean, hats off to the MLS faithful in Detroit. Good for them.
What a diplomatic answer.
No, I mean, look, I don't want to diss outdoor soccer, okay? You know, my daughter's starting to play it. I have no issues with soccer. I don't want to make any enemies of soccer fans. We've always known that Dan Gilbert has an affinity for Detroit.
So, of course.
Hopefully this will work out.
Yeah, absolutely. Dennis, I appreciate it. See, I've been for 20 years, I've been ripping soccer, so I can't back up on it now.
especially
what, you know, the people in Europe see the MLS as, which is double A. You know, this is the rubber ducks over here, you know, compared to the big time English Premier League stuff. So I've ripped soccer for 20 years on the radio. I can't stop now. All right, good stuff. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate the time. You got it. Have a good one. There you go. All right, it is 4:37. That's our good friend Dennis Maniloff. Again, check out his book on Amazon. It is called From A to Z, From Andrews to Zastadil. All right, here's what we're going to do here, because I've got, yeah, we're going to do that too first, I guess. We've got about 23 minutes left to talk with you. I want to get you on the phones at 866-240-1065. But that sound you hear is because of another great opportunity for you to win tickets to see John Mellencamp, Beat the Box Office. Tickets are going on sale for Mellencamp at Stranahan. It's going to be on October 21st, the concert is, and they go on sale Friday, this Friday. And if you want to beat the box office now, all you got to do is be caller number 10 to 866-240-1065, and I will set you up with a pair of freebies to John Mellencamp at Stranahan, October 21st. So, again, tickets go on sale Friday, but you can get hooked up right now. Caller 10, 866-240-1065, and those tickets are yours. Good luck to you.
Be part of the extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France extravaganza on 1065 The Ticket.
Look at you, Big Ben. Look at Ben just firing right up with some more John Cougar Mellencamp.
Right.
You knew what I was going to do, didn't you?
Well, see, I had to play Pink Houses, though. I love that one.
Let it play. And just a little inside radio here, just behind the scenes look, okay? I can't see Ben's computer, which is where he plays his sound from, and he can't see mine. He has no idea what I'm doing sometimes, and I don't have any idea what he's doing, but I want you to listen because I'm playing it right now just to prove it. This is, you hear mine?
Yep.
I had Pink Houses queued up to come back in to announce the winner of the Beat the Box Office tickets for John Mellencamp. I had it all queued up just like you did. Let mine play now. Turn yours off. Mine's better.
Yep.
Playing the exact same song, and I'm saying mine's better.
Well, hey, yours is longer.
What's that, Ben?
You have the full version.
Oh, you used the 40-second version again?
Yeah, because that's all the beds I have in here.
Once again, Ben acknowledging on live radio he's only good for 40 seconds at a time. See, on the other hand...
That's the thing with this four station, right? Like, down on XKR, they got, like, everything, and we just got the 40-second version.
I, on the other hand, am good for the long haul.
I'm
good for the duration, just so you know here. I got the full Magilla here. John Mellencamp live at Stranahan October 21st, and we're giving away tickets. We just gave them away on Beat the Box Office. To Joshua Bosselman.
There you go.
Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Joshua Bosselman from Wasion. How about that? Joshua, congratulations. Enjoy the show. If you didn't win them, I got good news and bad news. Actually, it's good news and okay news. The okay news is you can buy them when they go on sale on Friday. And the better news, if you will, is that I'll give another pair away tomorrow. And then another one on Thursday, and then another one on Friday. So you can buy them on Friday, or you can win them here or try to win them in the next 3 days. Good stuff there. All right, thanks again to Dennis Maniloff for joining us. I get into this fight all the time with soccer fans, you know, just about the, I don't know, the nature of the sport. See, you got, I don't have anything against soccer or soccer players. They have to be amazing athletes in really, really great shape to do all of the running they do on a constantly moving clock and the ball that's constantly in play. I have no disrespect for them. I just have hated the sport since I was a kid. And there's a little background here. And by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavaliers, who just got done beating up on Tom, and I don't mean to make that sound as bad as obviously it did, but it was a four-game sweep, and they were rivals for the time being, and now they're coming together. But Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, just beat up Tom Gores, the owner of the Pistons, for four straight games, and now they are calling one another allies, friends, partners, if you will. And the reason for that is Mr. Gores and Mr. Gilbert are joining forces, splitting the bill, perhaps, to bring a Major League Soccer franchise to Detroit. And apparently what the deal is that they're looking for an expansion club, and they will build a new stadium, soccer-specific, in downtown Detroit at a site to be determined. They both kind of let this out of the bag during with some tweets today aimed at each other. Gilbert at 12:46 this afternoon tweeted to Tom Gores, "Hey, at Tom Gores, you know what's great about sports? One moment you're rivals, and the next day you can be rooting for the same team." Gores responds, "You're right, at Cavs Dan. Let's kick around," in quotation marks, just to give you the idea there, kick around some ideas and try to make something happen. And, of course, they're talking about kicking a soccer team around. And they issued a joint statement later on saying, "Detroit is rising. We know firsthand the power of sports to lift a community and drive a civic renaissance." We are excited, the joint release says. "We are very excited about the prospect of bringing Major League Soccer to Detroit and building an ownership group that represents a cross-section of investors." There's going to be a press conference tomorrow when the commissioner of Major League Soccer, whose name is Don Garber. And I said it before and I'll say it again. Anybody who knew the name of the commissioner of MLS before I just told you, stand on your head and spin. Because nobody knew, because nobody knows, nobody cares. It's MLS. And I know that's really mean sounding, but I'm just trying to make a point here. Mr. Garber's going to be in Detroit tomorrow for meetings with the ownership group, the potential ownership group, and then they're going to have a presser at 1:30. So we'll have a lot more details on this tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock on the Extravaganza. Gores said, in addition to the press statement, "I've always believed a sports franchise is a community asset with the power to unite and inspire people. I'm excited to partner with Dan to help in Detroit's resurgence. Together we have all the tools we need to make a new team successful." It's a great statement. Nothing, absolutely nothing incorrect about what he said. Sports franchises do unite and inspire people. They do bring a sense of community and civic pride. They do bring people who might not have anything else in common in their lives. That's the beauty of going to a Tigers game or to a Browns game or to a Wolverines game or a Buckeyes game or locally a Rockets game or a Mudhens game. Liberals and conservatives who might not ever give one another the time of day in their ordinary lives will put on the same team cap and jersey and go cheer together. You know, black and white, tall and short, male and female, gay and straight, all the different, you know, diversity that we have in our lives, it all goes out the window. We're all willing to put on, you know, the gear of our favorite team locally and go support our city and our team. It's great. But soccer, this is just my thing with soccer. I love the idea and I hope it's enormously successful. Let me say that again. I hope it's enormously successful. I want nothing more, because I'm going to tell you what. You know, you don't have to live in Detroit to understand what I'm about to say. You know, people live right here in Toledo or in somewhere else in Northwest Ohio or Southeast Michigan. Detroit needs a helping hand in a huge way. Resurgence is what Gore said. I think that's an inspirational word. It's a hopeful word. It's a maybe we can spark a resurgence word. It's not something that has begun yet, quite frankly. The poverty level, the crime rate, the population dwindling. The city's got a lot of problems. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Casinos all jacked up and closing and crime around them. I mean, the city of Detroit's got some problems. I hope that it gets the help it needs. I hope that a franchise, another franchise, is the answer. But two things would temper that enthusiasm. One, we're talking about a sport that, quite frankly, is not very popular in the States. And I'm not saying that it can't be, it shouldn't be. This is just reality check time. Like I said, I haven't never liked soccer as a kid growing up. And as a football coach, especially when it started to expand in high schools, I used to be a football coach in high school back in the early 90s. And, you know, when they first got the soccer program started at the school I was coaching at, and some of my football players left and went to play soccer. Now, are you kidding me? And the soccer kids wanted equal access to the football field to practice. And again, are you kidding me? Get out of here. Go kick that ball around in a park somewhere. Not coming over here and ruining our football field with your soccer. So there's some inherent bias in this from my part, and I admit it and acknowledge it and not proud of it, but I'm just being real with you. So first of all, it's soccer. It's just not very popular in the States. You know, youth soccer is fun, but you know, MLS soccer is not, you know, extraordinarily popular and doesn't drive a whole lot of revenue. Second of all, if it was just a matter of you know, franchises and sports teams, you know, Detroit would be sitting pretty. Detroit would be one of the two or three or four or five more most wealthy and advanced and fat and happy cities in America. Because as Anthony Fenech pointed out in the first hour, you know, there's four professional franchises there. Not a lot of cities have all four, NBA, NFL, MLB, and NHL. Not to mention the proximity of the Michigan campus and the Michigan State campus. It's loaded with civic pride sports type teams, and it's still not there. So, you know, I'm very, very hopeful that things can work out for the soccer fans and for the city of Detroit, most importantly, for good, hardworking people, some who might be listening to us as they travel down this way to or from business or whatever the case might be. I really hope it works out. But I'm going to be very curious to hear what they have to say tomorrow. By the way, if you're looking for a precursor to this or maybe some kind of an idea of precursor isn't the right word I'm looking for. A precedent, maybe, is right. The San Antonio Spurs are the new owners of a United Soccer League franchise. It's not MLS. It's United Soccer League, called the San Antonio FC. It's kind of the third tier of North American soccer below MLS and the North American Soccer League. So there are NBA owners getting behind these kinds of things. In a recent visit to Sacramento, the MLS commissioner said that MLS is envisioning expanding to 28 teams. Currently they have 20, with more slots opening up in potentially Atlanta, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Miami, and another one in Los Angeles. So why shouldn't Detroit be a part of that if it's going to grow? Question is it going to grow and thrive, or is it going to be something that costs them money? I'll say this, and I said this to Anthony Fenech, who said he's not real confident that MLS can play in Detroit, that there would be enough fans, that Detroit fans would really get into this. I will say this, because I agree for all the reasons I just explained, but the one thing they've got going for them is Mr. Gilbert and Mr. Gores. You don't get to be multi-billionaire franchise owners by making bad investments. You don't have bad ideas when you're that successful. Or generally speaking, anyway, there might be one or two. But you don't get to be that successful by investing in losing ventures, entrepreneurial efforts. And so I think if they see money in this, there's a very good chance there could be money in this. So anyway, that press conference is coming tomorrow. All right, that's pretty much it. We are winding it down on the extravaganza this afternoon. Really good stuff today from Anthony Fenech talking about the Tigers. And by the way, speaking of that, don't forget about our social media. I posted on our Twitter feed and on our Facebook feed the vine of Tyler Collins last night flipping the bird and flying it without a license to the Comerica crowd as they booed him over the drop fly ball or the pop fly ball that he couldn't find. And we're asking your questions about it. Are you outraged about that as a Tigers fan, that he would dare flip off hard working, you know, ticket buying and their salary paying fans? Or do you kind of understand? You get it. We've all been there, and you're ready to forgive him. We'd love your thoughts on that on social media. So follow us on Sports Radio 106.5 on Twitter and on 106.5 The Ticket on Facebook. So I know it's a little confusing there. But Sports Radio 106.5 on Twitter and 106.5 The Ticket on Facebook. You'll find the Vine there on both of them. You'll also find stories about the soccer story that I just told you there as well. So we'd love your thoughts on that. And also, while you're online, don't forget to go to 106.5theticket.com and listen to the show again if you missed any part of it. Because now all of our shows, the Bob Brandt's Extravaganza and also Drive Time with Mike Miller, our podcast for your entertainment at your leisure. All of
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists assign a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.